We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, here's your host, Malcolm Butler.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is Inside Bulldog Football. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Bulldog head coach Skip Holtz, and we're at 102 North Homer Street at the Doghouse Sports Grill. And, Coach, hard to believe. In some ways, it seems like the time has flown since December when we walked out of the Superdome, and sometimes it felt like it has crawled. But we have football this coming Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi, 3 o'clock kickoff, Bulldogs versus Bulldogs.
How great is it to be back here at the Doghouse and see so many familiar faces that I've missed over the last, really, year, not having the opportunity to see so many faces. But we're back. It's that time of year. It is the season. The coaches' show has started doing all the media, the weekly media things. I mean, different vibe in the air with the team. Being in camp as long as we are, one of the unique situations we have here at Louisiana Tech is we don't start school until after our second game. And so camp goes all the way up to game week, where most people like Mississippi State started school on August 18th. And so it could be a huge advantage, but it can also be a huge disadvantage, because the one thing you don't want in your opening football game is a tired football team. And so right now we've gave them, had a light practice Thursday, had a light little scrimmage on Friday, on Saturday morning, gave them off on Sunday, shorts walkthrough today on Monday, just introducing everything with Mississippi State. But the attitude is definitely back. There's a new vibe in the air, new electricity, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And it has been a long off season. There's been an awful lot of things happen from then and now. A lot of things going on in our country right now. Certainly want to pause to say that our thoughts and prayers are with everybody down in the southern part of the state with everything they're going through with Ida. Getting texts from all over the country of people seeing the devastation down in the southern part of the state. And it's just so many people without power. And thoughts and prayers are with them and with what's going on in Afghanistan right now, and with the troops finally leaving, and thoughts and prayers to our military and those that we lost a couple days ago. But, you know, and then you're still fighting COVID. And, you know, I know it's real. I know it's still out there. Applaud our football team. We've now been in camp. We've had 105 players and about 25 staff members that have been in camp. We've been living on top of each other for about the last, really for about the last month. And knock on wood, we haven't had a single case of COVID. Players are really doing a good job of protecting themselves, wearing their masks, social distancing, doing everything we can to try and protect each other so nobody's going to miss 2 weeks either with the virus or contact tracing. So awful lot going on in the world right now, but certainly it's been a busy 9 months since we left the Superdome in December.
No doubt about it. And we'll talk a little bit, wrap up last year, and then take a look at fall camp in our second segment, look at the depth chart. But a couple of things here. For those out there listening or sitting here in the audience, if you want to ask Coach Holtz a question, you can just text it to the Bulldog hotline. That's 318-614-4513, 318-614-4513. 4513. And Skip, we go back to December, a seventh straight bowl game for Louisiana Tech. And I was trying to think the other day, it all kind of runs together before me, but before the Skip Holtz era in Ruston, Louisiana, this program, since it joined the FBS ranks back in 1989, had been to the 90 Independence Bowl, the 01 Humanitarian Bowl, the 08 Independence Bowl, and then in 11, the Poinsettia Bowl. So had been to four, and now we've been to seven in a row. So yeah. I know we didn't get the result we wanted on the field, but still quite an accomplishment for this group and this team.
For what we had to go through last year, when you look at the number of players we had 90 players that tested for COVID. At the time, we didn't realize there were false positives and things like that at the time, but we had 90 players test positive that missed a minimum of 2 weeks, and that doesn't even count all the contact tracing. As soon as somebody tests positive, his other three roommates are automatically out for 2 weeks. And so I remember we got the test on Friday morning when we were about to play UTEP, and both our starting tackles were out, and we're moving guards to tackle. And the one player said to me, he said, "Coach, do you really think I can play tackle?" And I was like, "Oh, son, you're going to be a natural. I think that's where you deserve. I mean, that's where you need to be." Just trying to convince them. And it was certainly a year of hurdles, a year of obstacles. We had many games canceled. We went through the whole month of November and didn't have an opportunity to play a game with games canceled. And it's hard when you're practicing all week and on Friday it gets canceled. You practice all week and Friday it gets canceled. We had seven upperclassmen opt out at the end of the season, and we were just a shell of ourselves when we went over to go play TCU and went to go play in the bowl game. Certainly make no mistakes about it, but we were not very unified as a football team at that point. It was really hard trying to keep everything together, but we went to the game and give them a great kudos for what they did, the way they played. But for our football team, it was bittersweet because we did have an opportunity to go to our seventh bowl game, which I'm certainly proud of with the record that is there at this point. But it also has been a driving force for the offseason for this football team. This is a football team that is used to winning. They came here because they wanted to be part of a winning program. And to finish the season that way, hard to believe it, but in the last 7 years, this is the first time we've gone into the offseason with a loss. And it's really been a motivating factor for this team, and I've been really pleased with the way the leadership has stepped up and where they've said, "That's not us. We're not going through that again. Let's do what we got to do to eliminate the COVID, to eliminate the guys missing games, and do what we have to do to try and put this thing together and have a great year." So I really commend the players for everything that they've – the way that they've approached this and the fire they have in their belly with the loss in the bowl game.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I imagine if you poll every coach in Division I football, Division II, Division III, nobody wants to go through a year like what we had last year, and everybody's glad that we're at least closer to some normalcy.
Agreed. I agree 100%. And hopefully, you know, one of the things that I missed a year ago was the electricity, the pageantry, the circus, the excitement of the fans in the stands. That's what creates the atmosphere in a college football game, and especially having the students over there on the visiting sideline filling that up, making noise, and making it rowdy, and our faithful alumni and fans that come to all these games. We missed you last year, and so we're certainly looking forward to seeing everybody back out on the Joe when we have the opportunity to come home here for three games in
September.
Yeah, been in Groundhog's Day in August in camp with everything, but certainly excited to have three home games in September.
Talk a little bit about the offseason. We're going to start. You got three new coaches on your staff as far as assistant coaches in full-time positions. Talk a little bit about each one. Perry Carter coming over to handle the cornerbacks.
Yep. Well, Perry Carter came in with the departure of Jeff Burris. Perry Carter came in, and, you know, Perry Carter played for 8 years in the NFL. He had coached with the Texans. He had been in the NFL for a number of years coaching. He was coaching at Texas Tech when his son went to ULM, went to Monroe, so he left Texas Tech to go have the opportunity to coach his son over at ULM. And so I know how special those moments are, having the opportunity to not only play for your dad, but to have an opportunity to coach with him. So I know what that meant to him. But when ULM, when they got let go over there, I think it was a tremendous opportunity. And he's come in, he's created an excitement back there. It was certainly one of the areas of improvement we needed to make from a year ago. Really, when you look at it, the offensive line, the running game, and the secondary were the three things we really felt like we needed to clean up. And Perry has done a phenomenal job. He's come in. We got three really talented transfers in Buchanan, Hamilton, and Miles Mason from Arkansas. All three of them have started in the SEC. They bring a lot of experience and talent. He's got a great group to work with some great returners. I know we'll talk a little bit about the depth chart later when you start talking about BJ and Jaden and Cedric Woods, the freshman All-American, Zach Hannibal. I mean, we've got some good guys returning there. But Perry Carter's got a great room. He's doing a great job with them. He's a very aggressive coach. He's a very vocal coach. He gets after them, and it's certainly showing. I think they've all improved tremendously since last fall. The second coach we hired was David Mackey. David Mackey was a volunteer here a year ago. He had been with Coach Blackwell at East Carolina. He's coached a couple of different places. He came in here last year, and he found himself without a job. He came in here and volunteered, and I was so impressed with him and just the way he carries himself. Any duty that I gave him as an off-the-field guy a year ago, I mean, he's one of those guys that brings it back to you. He crosses T's, he dot I's, he's thorough, he's organized. Really been impressed with him and the role that he played for us a year ago, and I felt like, why go out and hire a guy when you know you've got a really good guy right under your nose that worked with our program a year ago? So hired David Mackey to work with the safeties. Him and Perry Carter doing a really good job, and that gave David Blackwell the opportunity to move up to the linebackers, which is where he's really more comfortable coordinating from. With Brian Gamble here a year ago, he had to coordinate from the safeties. So moving him up, he is much more involved in the front, and we are much more aggressive defense than we were a year ago with the progress we're making and with Coach Mackey and with Coach Carter in the back end. The third member of the staff that we hired was David DeGuglielmo, Pacifico DeGuglielmo, to be exact. We call him Coach Googe. It's a whole lot easier to say for everybody, Coach Googe. David DeGuglielmo was I hired him when I was at Connecticut. He was coaching. I coached against him when he was at BU as a 1AA program, 1AA BU drop football. And we had an offensive line coach open, and I hired him, and have forever just been, he is one of the more impressive assistant coaches I've been around. He does a great job with that offensive line. He brings them together. He's got them all playing as a unit rather than independent contractors. They're spending a lot of time together. He's really building a cohesive unit. When I left Connecticut, we brought him to South Carolina with us. He was with us there for 4 years before he left to go to the NFL, and he's been in the NFL for the last 17 years. So when this job opened and I had the opportunity to talk to David, it was kind of like Kurt Hester. When he called me, I thought, okay, who do you have? Who GA'd for you? Who are you trying to push on me? So I called him back, and we small talked a little bit, and he said, tell me about this job. And I told him a little bit about it, and I said, who do you have for me? And he said, well, I'm interested. He said, I'd be interested in it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Well, if you're interested, I mean, we need to talk on a serious note. He had the NFL hirings were still going on. I told him I'd give him a couple weeks to let those go through. So if an NFL job did open up for him, that he could take that. After 2 weeks, he called me and said, all right, I'm ready to do this. I'm done with this. I'm ready to get back to college, have a room, develop our players, start to build relationships with them. And he came in, and once he got here, he's received two NFL offers since he's already been here. And I can only imagine when he tells an NFL team, no, I appreciate it, but I'm going to be a Bulldog. You know, and the NFL coach is probably sitting there going, Cowboys, Eagles, Texans, Cardinals, who are the Bulldogs, you know? But we're certainly – we are – very, very fortunate to have him because I think he's a great coach. He's got two Super Bowl rings. He's been the offensive line coach with the New England Patriots, with the Jets, with the Dolphins a couple times, with the Giants. He's really well-versed. He's been around the game for a long time, and I think right now he's doing a great job with that offensive line.
Now, folks, you see what I like about Skip Holtz. I ask him one question, and we just took up 6 minutes of this show. So Teddy talked about how difficult this was working with you. I think it's pretty easy.
It's the only time I have a chance to talk. My wife doesn't let me talk much at home. So if I can get a word in, the reins are off.
Well, this is your show, as Teddy said all the time. Let's move forward to February. Signing day had a different look this year. Obviously, we've talked a lot about roster management in this day and age, and it just was a little bit different in February.
Boy, it was a lot different this year. And there were so many rule changes that really created the decisions that we made. The rule change one with the transfer portal, the rule change with COVID where last year didn't count and everybody was a freshman again. We had signed for people that didn't manage us the right way. They're going to be in a fix for a couple years. I mean, because people that signed 25 freshmen a year ago and 25 more freshmen this year, they're going to have 50 freshmen out of their 85 scholarships. And I don't want 50 freshmen. Like, it's all I can do to handle 20 of them. You know, I always say the best thing about freshmen is one day they become sophomores. So we went out and we had signed 15 a year ago. So we signed 10 freshmen, and then we added upperclassmen to our roster. So that's where the transfers, where I believe we took 4 upperclassmen, offensive linemen, 3 in the secondary, a defensive lineman, a receiver, a quarterback. We took a couple upperclassmen to try and help offset our roster management so we didn't get bottom heavy, so we didn't have 50 freshmen. Signed some great freshmen. I really like the freshman class. I don't know how many of them are really going to contribute this year with them only being 10 of them. You still have the true freshmen from last year. When you talk about guys like Tyler Grubbs and Cedric Woods that came in and made, they're going to be true freshmen. They have 12 games under their belt. And yet at the same time, right now, they're still a true freshman. So crazy with the way some of the rules made. And so it made us really just manage our roster where we limited the number of freshmen that we took and then added more upperclassmen to the roster. So signing date definitely had a different look. We only signed 10 underclassmen, 10 freshmen. I really like the freshmen. I think they're going to be really good. But I also think by adding that many upperclassmen, we've probably created more experience depth on our football team than we've ever had. And I really think with the way that we added 4 on the line and 3 in the secondary, we really bolstered a couple of our problem areas a year ago. And I think we have a chance to be much better in those two areas this year.
Well, we'll get a chance to see it this Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff against Mississippi State. When we come back, we'll have more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers 4 nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Malcolm Butler joined by Skip Hulse. And Coach, real quickly, you got to have spring workouts this year, something that 2020 did not provide. I know it was nice to be back out there and actually get to see some of these newcomers in action before you got to August.
Yeah, I mean, coming out to spring ball, and I was – really excited getting into spring just to have the opportunity to get on the grass. And as I said, I think these players were really excited because we have so many guys that I talked about came out of that bowl game that were really just on fire to say, what do we got to do to get better? And we came out and didn't have all the transfers at that point. We had some of them, but we didn't have all of them that we have today. And I thought having the opportunity to get out on the grass in 15 days and something we didn't have a year ago. And really the biggest thing that I feel like I missed a year ago without spring practice, with very little fall camp, with no meetings in person, with everything being on Zoom, even your team meetings, I missed our culture meetings. I missed the meetings where every hour during camp we have a culture meeting where we talk about different things about the program, whether that's the academic side of things and graduating, whether that's some of the intangible things that we talk about all the time with passion and energy and excitement and enthusiasm and how all that goes into play and the way we play football here at Louisiana Tech. And so we had an opportunity to do quite a bit of that in the spring, which is the first time we had a chance to do that in the year. And I thought they were really productive, and I really liked the attitude and watching some of these guys really have an opportunity to come along. You know, like a guy like Byron Rossell, who hadn't played a lot of football, or Dakota White, who hadn't played a lot of football, to see some of those guys get the reps that they got on our offensive line and some of the other positions. And so I think it was a really a great opportunity to kind of see what this football team, the backbone of this football team and what it was going to be this fall, and so many of these guys that have been in our program for 3, 4, and 5 years. But also it gave us the opportunity to see where we needed to add a couple more pieces in order to be the football team that we wanted to be. And so I thought it was an incredibly productive spring. I think some guys really made some great strides, and I think we got better as a football team.
We've got the depth chart here. Just a reminder to fans listening, you can text in your questions for Coach Skip Hulse to 318-614-4513. We'll try to get to those throughout the show. So, Skip, there's no way, I don't think, to go through this depth chart in 10 minutes, but we're going to try it. And funny enough, we're going to start at the quarterback position, where
imagine
I think
that.
Everybody
imagine
has
that.
Been all eyes focused on the quarterback position. I know that you released this today. Talk a little bit about the quarterback position and who's going to be starting in Starkville.
Well, we came out in the quarterback position and felt like I was told after the gruesome break of Luke Anthony's leg that he would be back by spring ball, would be able to at least do pass scale and throw the ball a little bit. But he ran into some complications. He wasn't ready for spring practice. When we got into June, they said they needed to go in and do a scope and clean a couple things up, which started to concern me a little bit. I really want three quarterbacks going into the season. We had Aaron Allen, J.D. Head, who both had the full spring practice. Aaron had the opportunity to play a little bit last year. J.D. got an opportunity to play in the bowl game. But I really felt like we needed three quarterbacks. And having my concerns on whether or not Luke would be ready or not, I felt like we needed portal. We did. For the first time in my life, I competed against a full-time job rather than in recruiting to recruit somebody out of a full-time job to come back to play college football. And that Austin Kendall, who was the number 4 rated quarterback in the country coming out of high school, signed at Oklahoma, sat for 2 years at Oklahoma behind a couple Heisman Trophy winners, transferred to West Virginia, played for a year in that staff's first year there. And then in the second year, he got beat out. And so as he went through that season and then got into the portal, things didn't really work for him in the portal, and he had a job opportunity, and so he took it. And so when we started calling on him, it was like, ooh, I don't know, Coach. I've been out now for – I thought I was done with football, and now I'm opening that door again. And he has come in here in July and done a great job. Joe Sloan's done a great job with him. He's come in. He's picked up the offense. We just had captain's votes, and he was in the top five in captain's votes. I mean, he's really making his mark on this football team and earned an awful lot of respect. Coming out of fall camp, right now Austin Kendall will be our starter going into the first week. Both J.D. Head and Aaron Allen have done some great things. I think Aaron is a lot closer to playing than he was a year ago. I think, obviously, everybody remembers his performance in the bowl game, and I don't think it bothered anybody more than it bothered Aaron Allen. I mean, and I think he's worked really hard to overcome that, not put the ball in danger and protect the football, and he's improved as a quarterback. And J.D. Head is a young player. He does not lack confidence, I will promise you that. And I think we have really two great backup quarterbacks. I would tell you that these are probably the best two backup quarterbacks we've had since I've been here, that we've had some really talented starters. But having two guys that are both good enough to play here, I think those guys are going to have their day in the sun here, and I think they're both going to be really good. But right now coming out, I think Austin Kendall, with his game experience, with the number of offenses he's been in, with his age, and how well he's picked up the offense, I certainly think that this team has got a vote of confidence in him, as evidenced by the captain's voting. They feel like he's a guy that can lead us, and we feel that way as a staff. I certainly feel that way as a head coach, and so we gave him the nod, and he's definitely going to take the reps with the one this week, and he'll chart out there as the first quarterback to take a snap for the 2021 season.
For those who have not seen him play or seen him in practice, what can Tech fans expect from him under center?
You know, he's got a very quick release. He's got a very quick release. I would say if I had to try and compare him to a quarterback, probably a little bit like a Ryan Higgins. Has a good arm, has a very quick release, can manage the game, get rid of the ball. But he runs much better than people would think. I mean, he's a guy that has a great feel of the pocket with as long as he's been playing, great feel of the pressure coming and moving and getting out of the way, and when's it time to stand in there and hold the ball and wait for that route to come open and throw it while you're taking a shot in the chin, or to put the ball down under his arm and take off running with it. But he is some of our bigger plays that we made. We were in a two-minute drive a couple weeks ago and didn't throw a pass, and we got all the way down the field in field goal range because of his feet. So it's a kind of one of those hidden things. We're not going to run him a lot, but some of his run opportunities are going to come when he drops back to throw it. And I think Austin is very, very talented, very smart, very intelligent, very accurate, with a really quick release and good legs. So I'm excited to see him play. I think he's going to give us a great chance.
You move on to the running back position, and you lost two guys last year in Izzy Tucker and, of course, Justin Henderson. But I'm going to tell you what, you look what you got here on the depth chart, and you watch them in practice, you're pretty deep at running back.
I think we got, and I know, I mean, I think we've got five running backs that we could play with. I mean, I think we have five guys. Marcus Williams, the transfer from App State, we ran the ball for an abysmal 2 yards a carry or whatever it was last year, but it was awful. And we felt like, just like when we get to the offensive line and talk about some of those transfers, but Marcus Williams is transfer from App State. He will be the starter. Has really done a great job. Was here for spring ball. Very serious football player. He's low build. He rushed for, I think, 1,000 yards while he was there at App State. Great vision. Runs hard. Physical football player. Greg Gardner was here a year ago. He's doing some great things. Keon Henry Brooks was a starting tailback at Vanderbilt a year ago. Was probably one of the SEC hot, you know, transfer portals with him going into the portal. And for us to get him and for him to be here was a huge get for us. And he's definitely going to play. And I really like the young Harlan Dixon. I think is a really good player, just a freshman, but I think is going to have a lot. Like, I think about Harlan Dixon like I do J.D. Head. I think J.D. Head's got a chance to break records here at this school, and I think they feel the same way about a Harlan Dixon. He's just in a very crowded room right now. Then the other one, Kevin Dominique, who transferred over from Grambling. and came into our program. Big, physical, hard runner, but we certainly were a year ago, you felt like you had two. Really, we played with two for the entire season pretty much, even after Justin left halfway through the season. Izzy became the guy. Where right now, I think you're going to see this by committee. I think you're going to see a lot of running backs play, but we ought to be able to keep fresh people on the field for sure. So I think it's a room that's got three transfers for one position, which makes it a really crowded room, but it makes it a very talented room with a lot of experience in that room as well.
Let's talk a little bit about your offensive line. Obviously, that was an area of concern last year at times in games, and I know you've already talked about Coach Gooch and what he's brought as far as the coaching position. Talk a little bit about what you have on the offensive line heading into this season.
Well, going into the season, we felt like we needed to make some additions. We needed some. Unfortunately, we lost Cody. We lost Cody in the offseason. Cody felt like he was going to have an opportunity to go play at a higher level at a Power 5. He was a two-year captain here, was all conference, had accomplished about everything that he could accomplish in college football. And so with his departure, it kind of left a hole at the center position. So Abe Delphin moved into the center. Joshua Moat is going to stay a constant at that guard spot. And then we had some young guys. And I say young guys, you had guys like Byron Russell, Dakota White, Jaron Gilbert, Ray Kelly, you had Burt Hale was coming back. You had a number of guys that were there that needed to continue to grow and develop. But we brought in four transfers on the offensive line as well. And right now, Kelton Hollins will start at right guard. He's a transfer from TCU. Was another guy a lot like Austin Kendall, who was in the top five in voting, is making a real impact on the offensive line with his serious nature and his leadership. Chris Fournier came from an Ivy League school, was at Lehigh. Very intelligent player, has done a really good job. He's going to start at the right tackle position. Sam Williams, the transfer from ULM, came in, can be a tackle or a guard, and is going to play quite a bit, as he's going to be probably that sixth lineman coming in off the bench. And then you got Byron Russell and Dakota White at the left tackle position that are both going to play, and they're both competing. Two young guys that are there at the position, but both are very talented. So I think when you look at your starting five, two transfers and Fournier and Kelton Hollins, and then Abe Delphin and Josh Moat, who are two constants, with two young guys and Byron Russell and Dakota White. So I think we've got a really good mix of upperclassmen and underclassmen. I really like what Jaron Gilbert, Ray Kelly, the freshman from Ruston right here in town, the job that he's doing up front. Burt Hale is getting better and better. Probably one of the surprises of spring and fall camp has been Carson Bruno. Carson Bruno is a true freshman right now who's our backup right tackle, and he's earned that spot. I mean, he's come in and really done a nice job with it. And then one of the other transfers, DeMarcus Gordon, who's coming in and just needs some time. He just got to learn it and feel more comfortable, a little bit more comfortable. But talent is certainly not something that he lacks there. But I think that we're going to probably play seven or eight linemen every game, which is going to give us the opportunity to keep some fresh bodies in there. And I think those guys are very unselfish. They're really playing together as a team. And we always talk about that offensive line's got to be tied on a rope. I keep saying the NCAA has a rule where they allow the offensive line to talk to each other. So you're allowed to tell each other what we're doing so we can all move in the same direction and all be on the same page. If they're all wrong but they all do the right thing, they can be right. You know what I mean? But they all have to be moving together. It's when four go one way and one goes the other, that's when you get into trouble up front. And so I think our offensive line has a chance. I'm excited to watch them play, and they're certainly going to have an incredible challenge week one playing Mississippi State with the size and activity of their defensive line up front, which is one of the strengths of their football team, are the four guys they up front, and they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they're very active. They're big and athletic, and it'll be a great challenge for our offensive line in week one.
All right, speaking of challenges, we're going to talk about the wide receivers here, and we're going to try to do it in 2 minutes. Talk a little bit about what you have at the wideout position this year.
2 minutes. Yep. Let me take a breath and go. You know, I think right now when I look at it, I feel like we've got – really six or seven guys that could play outside and six or seven guys that could play inside. Names, guys like Isaiah Graham that everybody's heard of. Juwan Johnson had a chance to play a little bit last year. But guys like Trey Harris, the freshman, who is really going to make a huge impact. Sam Emulis, the transfer from UMass, doing a great job. Jaron Means, the transfer from Tennessee from a year ago, may be our most talented player. Praise of Corey out there. I think we've got names that you're going to see a lot of those guys playing a lot of football. We'll roll a lot of guys outside, and the same thing inside. Smoke Harris and Griffin Hebert are two staples that we have, but Carson Ryder has had a great camp so far as a backup out there, along with Ivan Thomas, the transfer from FIU. Very talented, athletic, great hands, more of a tight end type body that we haven't had in our program lately, but he's going to play. And then behind Smoke Harris, who will play most of the game, Taj McGee and Solomon Lewis, another freshman, has really made an impact. So there are about 14, 15 names back there. Jacob Adams will be our fullback. He keeps coming back. I think he's about an inch shorter than he was a year ago with all the pounding we put on him. But those guys have a chance to be really talented, and I'm anxious to see them come along, because I think early it might be a little bit rough with those guys with so many new faces, but I think they'll only continue to gel and get better and better as the year goes on.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that group grow on the field. We'll be back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game, and teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
Keeps up. Well, we're back at the Doghouse Sports Grill with Inside Bulldog Football, Malcolm Butler, and joined by Louisiana Tech VP and Director of Athletics, Eric Wood. And Eric, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Malcolm.
It's great to be here. We've got a great crowd here. Want to take a moment to thank Bert Davis and the staff here at the Doghouse. They've been supporters of Louisiana Tech for a long, long time. They serve some of the best burgers in the area. So thank you, Bert and staff, for all you do for Louisiana Tech, including hosting this weekly show. Eric, you are now, 10 months in, right? And you're going to... And shortly, you're not going to be able to say you're the new guy.
I know. I've been using the I'm still a rookie because it lets me, you know, gives people show me a little more grace when I make mistakes. So it's about to be over soon.
It is. Well, I found out today, I did not realize this, that your introduction to Louisiana Tech and specific Louisiana Tech football came way back in 2001 at the Humanitarian Bowl.
Yeah.
When the Bulldogs played Clemson and you were working at Clemson, you were at the game.
I was a graduate assistant just breaking into the field and that was my introduction to Louisiana Tech. And then obviously spending a solid 7 years in Arkansas just knowing the region, and we recruited this area pretty hard because of the talent in this state. But yes, back in 2001 Humanitarian Bowl, I was on the other side, but my introduction to Tech.
It snowed that day. It was cold in Boise, Idaho that day. I think that was about a 10 a.m. kickoff as well. But let's talk a little bit about the last 10 months. Last year specifically, 2020, 2021, unbelievable some of the accomplishments of this athletic program, both on the field, in the classroom, in the community, during what was a very, very challenging year.
Yeah, you know, I've made this comment before that, you know, as I talk to my mentors that, you know, encourage me to pursue this opportunity or even to just become an athletics director, like, what a year to do that, right? In the middle of a pandemic, social justice, name, image, and likeness, and now the idea of conference realignment looming in the next 3 to 5 years, right? Crazy. But, you know, I just kept telling myself and trying to share with our staff to just keep showing up. Keep showing up. Keep doing the next best right thing. And you're right. We had a lot of momentum. We had a lot of momentum in the classroom. For those of you that don't know, we finished the year. We had 199 of our 320-ish student athletes on the commissioner's honor roll. 199 out of 320 with at least a 3.0. That's unbelievable, right? Coming at a time where we're doing virtual tutoring because we couldn't do in-person tutoring. We had 54 student athletes with a 3.75 GPA. How about that? I mean, that's just fantastic. Fantastic. We had 9 in a year where the previous high in the history of Louisiana Tech athletics, where we had 5 academic All-Americans, we had 9 in 1 year, 3 of those on baseball staff, right? And so on the baseball team. So, but just an unbelievable year off the field, in the classroom. We were also ranked 4th out of our 14 schools in community service hours. Again, in a time period where we couldn't do a lot of community service, and so we were still ranked 4th. So a great year off the field, right? Malcolm, as you know, and many of our fans know, on our respective playing fields, you know, people want to start off with men's basketball, but I'm going to go back to football, a 7th straight bowl game appearance. And as a reminder, from what I learned in the history of Louisiana Tech football, there were 6 bowl games before Coach Holtz got here and steadied the waters, and then goes to 7 in a row. Okay, so people like to jump right to basketball and baseball, a 7th appearance in a row for football, and then we go, yeah, let's a round of applause for that, right? Coach doesn't like moral victories. I don't like moral victories, but that's 7 in a row, and it started right there, right? And then to go on to winning the West and Coach Conkle getting 7 or 8 coach of the year accolades, and then baseball winning the West, and then also having, you know, historic season and hosting a regional. Bowling, for those of you that weren't following us closely there, had a number 4 overall national seed. Right, finished top 10 in the country at number 9, but had a number 4 national seed as well. So round of applause for Coach Nantes and his squad. But lots of great things happened in a pandemic, Malcolm, and I'm just looking forward to greater things this year.
No doubt about it. In Bulldog basketball, not only the West Division champions that run to the NIT Final Four, and, of course, then what Junior Lofton was able to do representing Team USA summer. So you love to talk about momentum and getting momentum and moving forward and helping. And I know just around football this year, if you've driven around Joe IA Stadium in the last couple of days, you can see a lot of things that that might be small, but in the big picture, they're important. And I know that as you've walked in, a lot of times you things that maybe as somebody who's been here for 22 years,
yeah.
I've been so accustomed to seeing it that I look right past it. You haven't. Talk a little bit about some of the things that are being done over at Joe Eye Stadium.
Well, let me start with this. The first thing that you may have heard me talk about, and probably sound like a broken record now, is to compete, right? And that compete was to compete in the classroom, compete to be better leaders, and then compete in our respective playing fields. But around all of that, it was just everything we put our name on, we want to be great. We want to be excellent. And that includes how our facilities look. And so, Malcolm, thanks for setting that up. But if you'll notice, if you haven't already, if you're not following on social, when you show up to game day, you know, we had an opportunity to pressure wash the stadium. Right, minor detail, but a big deal. It's just a overall for our student athletes, for our recruits, for our fans to see that. You know, the first week that I was in town, I met with all of our head coaches, and that's the first thing Coach Holtz did. He brought me out there and just said, "Look at our home. Look at our home. How are we inviting people to our home? When you invite people to your home, you make sure it's cleaned up. You make sure the front porch looks good, right? And we are the front porch for the university. So we pressure wash the stands. There's some active painting going on right now. As you know, there was a lot of chip paint at the top of the stadium. And that's just not who we are. That's not who we want to be. You'll also see there's a faded logo on top of the video board, and that'll be switched out here. We've vacuumed the turf. So we want to make sure that this is an inviting place. We want to make sure that as Coach Holtz brings brings recruits and their families, we're inviting them to our home. And those minor details are major things, at least while I'm sitting in this chair.
Yeah, and even the parking lot got repaved.
Parking lot, getting
repainted.
Paved.
Yep.
Yep, been getting paved and renumbered. All of those things. And that's just some of the low-hanging fruit. But to your earlier point, it allows us to keep momentum. I want our fans, I want our current students, our current coaches to feel like we are continually putting them in the best position to succeed. And part of that is our facilities.
We ask fans to send in questions, and Andrew sent in a question I'm going to let you talk about when we talk about kind of the athletics game plan moving forward facility-wise. Yeah. Andrew wanted to know, when are we going to get an indoor football facility?
Andrew, that's a great question. So, first of all, the big plan is to create this athletics village. So we're currently working on our master plan. The most important thing the most important thing we can do is sell that vision. So we're looking to have the athletics village. There is no doubt that we have to have a football practice indoor facility. Coach loses out on practices when there's lightning and we have to go inside for 30 minutes or stop practice and we can't get them in, and there are only set amount of days that you can get this in. So the football practice facility is crucial. We also need a basketball practice facility. We have men's and women's basketball and volleyball all vying for the same practice times. And so we're looking to have that. We need an academic center. Our staff right now is crunched in a space and it really can't host any of our team study halls. So we need an academic center. And there are just a lot of other things that we need to do. But the football practice facility is a top priority for us, along with our academic center and basketball practice facility. And then there are a number of other areas that we need to spruce up within the facility. But Andrew, great question. We will be on our way here to fundraising for that football facility. It helps in recruiting. It'll help for other sports that need to get in there at night when football's not practicing. It really helps to manage our number of practices to make sure we can get them in.
And you mentioned a lot of things there, and obviously those are not going to all happen tomorrow or next year, but it's one of those things where if you haven't been back to Louisiana Tech, say, in the last 5 years, and you rode into Ruston today and drove through campus, you would be wowed by a lot of the new facilities, yep. Whether they're athletics or campus-related. And, again, based off of what we're hearing, it sounds like 5 to 10 years down the road, same thing. If you came back, this place is going to look different than it totally different than it does today.
Yeah, 5 to 10 sounds good. But if you're out there and you want to help in the next couple of years, we need that ASAP. But yes, that is the vision, to have the village and to start with those.
Well, Eric, we appreciate you joining us today. I know excited about the upcoming football season, and I guess I'll let you give a little bit of a pitch about how fans out there can help Louisiana Tech.
Every opportunity that I get, I'll say these three things. Number one, we need you to buy tickets. And sometimes they'll say, "Hey, Eric, well, I don't live in town," or "I'm in Houston, I'm in Dallas." There are plenty of organizations and philanthropic groups that will to help those tickets. We make sure we give them to Tech fans. So number one, I would say buy tickets. Number two, we need you to give to LTAC. just like recruiting is the lifeblood of any sports team, LTAC is the lifeblood of our athletics department. In order for us to compete at the top of the conference, we need your help with our Louisiana Tech Athletics Club. And then number three, I've always talked about just being an ambassador. There's somebody sitting on the sidelines in your neighborhood, at your Rotary Club, at the Kiwanis Club, that's upset at a previous president or a previous AD or a previous coach, and they've just disassociated. Bring them back into the fold. We need everybody here to help Coach Holtz and all of our head coaches win a conference championship. We need to create a home field advantage. So buy tickets, give to LTAC, be an ambassador for our program, and I'm going to do everything I can in this leadership role to move the department and the whole university forward.
Thank you so much for that, Eric. Yep. Excited to see what's coming up the road in the very near future. We'll be back with more of Inside Tech Football in a moment. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game, and teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Well, back at the Doghouse Sports Grill, this is Inside Tech Football, and Coach, I know we didn't get a chance to go over the depth chart on the defense. We'll do that more in-depthly next week. I want to talk a little bit about Mississippi State. I got a couple of questions here from No Name Dog. There's no name on this, so no, he's got two dog questions for you. Question one, will you or Joe Sloan call the offensive plays this year?
I will continue to call the offense plays. Joe Sloan's done a great job. Joe and I have been together for a long time, going back to East Carolina when he came in as a freshman and played for me there. We were there together at South Florida, and he has been here the entire time. This is his ninth year here. So when you look back, I think this is about 15 or 16 years that Coach Sloan and I have been together. I will continue to call plays. We'll work together with it, but there's only been a couple times in my career that I did not call plays and it did not work out as well as I wanted. And so it's one of the lessons that I've learned. And the more people I talk to, I just feel like I have a chance to control a football game when I'm calling plays. And so something I'm not willing to give up at this point, but I think Joe Sloan's doing a great job. He's got no ego and dealing with it. It's not about who calls it. It's about that we get the right play called and give these players an opportunity to execute.
His second question, and I think I know the answer to this, do you think your son Trey has the making of a head coach?
I do, and I'll tell you, even if he – I don't know how good he'll be, but he makes you believe he's going to be really good. You know, I mean, he's just – he does not lack confidence. I said this before when he was first getting into it. He was a graduate assistant. He had played at Texas and was a graduate assistant at Ohio State, and we're on an airplane, and he is just writing like – feverishly. And I looked over, I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm making out my staff for when I become a head coach. And it was like, Maybe you ought to start with a full-time job. You know what I mean? Let's just start with that, and then we can start to talk about it. But, no, I think he's got a really good mind. I think he has a coordinator-type mind. I think he sees the whole picture. A year ago, it kind of surprised me when we had Joe Sloan was out with COVID, and then we also had John Allen was out with COVID. And so I walk into the offensive staff room and all the coaches are sitting around the thing and Trey's sitting in the captain's seat, sitting there running the film, telling everybody. So he doesn't lack confidence. But I will say this, he's been around the game his whole life. He knows the game. He has the confidence because he studies the game as hard as he does. And being in a number of offenses at Texas and being in two offenses at Ohio State, he's been around a lot of football and he's got a really good mind for it. One day his opportunity is going to come and I think he'll be really good.
Your team opens up this Saturday in Starkville, Mississippi, Davis Wade Stadium, 3 o'clock kickoff against Mississippi State. That game will be on ESPNU. And let's talk a little bit about the Mississippi State Bulldogs under Mike Leach in his second year. They're coming off a 4-7 season. Mike Leach likes to run the ball a lot, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, exactly. A whole lot, about three times a game. Yeah, he likes to throw it. I mean, they are a four-wide open offense. They've got a quarterback coming back that started six games for him the last six games of the year last year that did a really nice job. I think two of their most talented players are their two tailbacks. And even though they don't run it, their running backs are very, very involved in the passing game. A lot of screens. They get the ball in their hands. The one receiver was the leading receiver of the football team a year ago was the running back. So even though they don't hand it to them a lot, and they may hand it to them 10, 15 times a game, maybe they'll hand the ball to their tailbacks. Other than that, they're going to drop back and throw it. But they are going to get the ball to their athletes in space. They have a very complicated passing game. A lot of people run a lot of vertical stretch type passing game. Theirs is more so a lot of crossers, picks, rubs, screens, backs delayed out of the backfield, checkdowns. They make it really hard. If you don't cover them deep, they will definitely take their shots down the field. But their quarterbacks are very efficient because of the system that they have. They return seven starters on the defensive side of the ball. Their center's back, their left tackle, who's an all-conference player and a really talented player at left tackle. They've got their two running backs are back. Their receivers are back. When I look at their receivers, they've got one that averaged 14 yards a catch. They've got a senior and a captain who really does a nice job. He returns. Austin Williams, number 85, who is a really good player. But they have a lot of weapons on offense. And, you know, they're an SEC team. You know, when you look at them, they go down there. They play LSU to start the season last year. They beat LSU. I mean, it's a very talented football team. They went to a bowl game this year and won their bowl game. So it'll be a challenge playing an SEC team on the road to start the season.
Again, that game kicks off at 3 o'clock ESPNU for television. Of course, you can tune in to Teddy Allen and myself. We'll have a 90-minute pregame. We'll go on the air at 1:30 over on 107.5 FM. Quick trivia question for you. Do you know what your record is in season openers here at Louisiana Tech?
I do not.
Okay, you're 4-4.
Okay, so this is a big game. Can we play somebody else?
I was going to ask that. As a head coach, I mean, you're going to be tested right off the bat. You're going to kind of know what you have. Would you kind of rather just tiptoe into the season a little bit more?
Well, you'd like to – what you do in your non-conference games, you'd like to have an opportunity. I've always said this. Non-conference games are the opportunity for a lot of players to play for the very first time, get their feet wet, to get ready to get into the conference race. You know, and so you'd like to put them in that environment. I love the game. I think it's going to be a challenge for us. When you look at our non-conference schedule, we play Mississippi State, who's going to be much improved and return, I think, 15 starters and all their specialists and returners. I think they're going to be much improved from where they were a year ago. We play NC State, who's picked second right behind Clemson in their division in the ACC. We play SMU, and Coach Dykes has done a great job of building that program over there, who's ranked in the top three or four teams in the American. So we've got three challenging games non-conference, and then we play the Walter Payton Award winner down coming from, you know, the South, coming up here to play here. So it's certainly going to be a challenge for us.
No doubt about it. Well, we've got another commercial break we've got to get to. We'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to Inside Bulldog Football on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
Well, back at the Doghouse Sports Grill, we'll wrap things up here real quickly. Want to thank Elton for engineering the broadcast here. Want to thank Matt McKinney back at the studio, Dr. Eric Wood for being our guest. Want to thank Ashley Springer, our football SID, who came up with all the game notes we use. Want to thank Skip Holtz as well. Skip, Mississippi State this Saturday, 3 o'clock in Starkville.
Yeah, I need to thank a couple people as well. No Name Dog and Andrew, thank you for your questions today. Really appreciate it. Andrew, especially, you know, anytime we can give a little jab to Dr. Wood about an indoor facility, I like it. So appreciate both your questions. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's going to be an exciting, fun year, and really, get on board. Let's all enjoy this ride together because I can't wait. I'm so excited about this season to see what this team can become. I want to thank Dr. Wood. As a head coach, this is my sixth athletic director I've been around. I share his vision of just pride and perfection in everything he does, and certainly he's glad that he's here and the difference that he's making. Thoughts and prayers with everybody in the southern part of the state with what you're going through, and even though that Teddy Allen wasn't able to be here today, Malcolm, it's certainly great to have you here, and in Teddy's honor, I got to say, see ya!
For Bulldog head coach Skip Hulse, I'm Malcolm Butler saying so long, everybody.
Live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the LaTeX Sports Network.